Hi, this is Lindy, the creator and host of Lindy's Audio Cafe, a podcast focused on positive and thought-provoking stories. Life gets busy, and in the race for happiness, we sometimes forget it's often the smaller things in life that truly matter. My podcast is focused on the stories that don't make tabloids, the basics that make you smile, the kindness of people who help make the world a better place. Yeah, we need a bit more of that. But before we get started, please be sure to hit subscribe on your podcast app so you don't miss future episodes. Thanks for listening. Hi, everyone. It's Lindy here. Welcome back to Lindy's Audio Cafe podcast. I'm absolutely delighted to be back here podcasting again this morning. And I'd like to extend a very hearty welcome to those of you who are new listening to my podcast for the very first time. Yeah, for some of you, maybe you've never listened to a podcast before. This may be your first one, or perhaps you are an avid podcast listener and you just happened to hit that dial and tune into me. Whatever it is, I'm so happy that you've decided to join me. And welcome back to those of you who've been part of my journey, who've been listening previously. I'm always really excited when I know that people have come back and listened to another episode. It really makes my day. So just a couple quick notes here before we get started. Usually I am recording in a home studio that I have here. I have a little office set up with my home studio equipment, but I'm not able to do that today. It's a little hard on me to sit in that chair. I'll explain more about that in a moment, but just letting you know that my audio quality is going to be a little bit different today. I'm actually on a USB style microphone on my laptop sitting in my living room. And I don't have audio shields or anything like that, so you might hear the odd car drive by, you might hear my poodle running around in the background, and I apologize for that, but in order for me to record today, I have to do it this way. Okay, so I guess I will lead into that and explain why I'm doing it this way. I'm sitting here in my chair. You might hear the odd paper rattle beside me. I'm here in a chair in the living room, actually my recliner chair. Got my laptop set up beside me on one side, microphone hooked up to it. And on my left side, when I look over, here we are. I got a set of crutches sitting by my side. Yeah, I had a little bit of an issue with my left foot, and doctor's orders right now are to stay off my foot, and I'm wearing an air cast, one of those little boot things that you do. And I'm learning a lot about life because I don't think I've been on crutches for a long, long time. And any time I've been on crutches, it's never been for more than a day, usually an ankle sprain or something. Today is Wednesday. And I am learning a lot about adapting and adjusting to different things. And I'm going to talk a little bit about it today, talk about my experience, talk about the things that this is teaching me. I'm getting a lot of life lessons out of this experience. And maybe it wasn't a life lesson I was looking for, but it's certainly a life lesson that has been very valuable for me. Okay, going back to where I'm at here, I've got this beautiful boot on my foot. I don't know if any of you have ever had an air cast or what they call, you know, one of those little support boots. If you've got any kind of a tendon injury or mild fracture, if you've got something like that, you might have been prescribed by your doctor to wear one of those little air casts. Well, they're not really beautiful, actually. It looks kind of like an old ski boot. You know, I grew up in the Yukon. We used to wear all kinds of funky boots in the winter, moon boots, big boots, you know. Well, this is just reminding me of one of those big old moon boots, only this has these great big Velcro straps on the top. I joke around and I go, ooh, baby, that's really sexy. Not. Oh, boy. Yeah, this is a really good thing for your self-esteem when you're hitting your late middle-age years. It's like, yeah, this does not do a lot for fashion attire. But however, it does a lot to promote healing. So that's a good thing. I need to be grateful for it. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because this is the first time in a long time that I've been forced to be sedentary. And I find it really hard. I'm not used to being sedentary. I'm a person that's always really busy. I'm always out and about. I'm always on the go. As a matter of fact, I've always had a hard time sitting still for any length of time. Unless I'm creating something like to do with my journals or something on the computer, I don't do well sitting around. It's just not my cup of tea. And maybe that's been a good thing because it's always kept me active. But sometimes it's not always been a good thing either because sometimes I haven't known how to stop, how to settle down, and it can be a bit challenging. I've got this little physical setback this week, got to stay off this foot. Made me think a lot about other people and what other people go through. And I have to admit, you know, in the process of thinking about what other people go through, I still found myself getting a little down in the dumps these past few days. And that's not my nature. I'm usually pretty happy-go-lucky, you know, whatever happens, go with the flow. I try to find the brighter things that are happening in life. I always try to see the glass as more half full than half empty. I'm just one of those kinds of people. I'd like to take pride in people coming up to me and saying, oh, you're the most bubbly person I know. You're the most upbeat person I know. You're so happy. You're so chipper, blah, blah, blah. I love it when people tell me that because I like to be that kind of person. That people want to be around because you're upbeat and you're chipper. Well, I'm amazed I didn't send my poor old partner running in this past week because there was a few days I got a little teary-eyed over the situation. And it's just one of those things. I mean, I had so many things in front of me I wanted to do. Okay, this is springtime. This is my favorite time of the year. This is the time of year when I like to get out and I like to get some starter plants going. Usually I've got some zucchinis and cucumbers and, you know, I'm not the best gardener in the world, but there's things that I do like to do in the garden, and I'm not doing that right now because I'm off my foot. And we weren't going to do a lot anyway because we were hoping, you know, maybe do a bit of camping this summer, a bit of road travel. So I wasn't going to do a huge garden, but I was still going to do something, and now I can't. I was hoping to do a little bit of camping over the next few weeks, but I don't think I really want to do that either because getting in and out of a trailer with crutches is a little bit hard to do. There's a couple steps getting up. I'm afraid I'm going to slip and fall or put too much strain on the other leg trying to get in and out because the steps are kind of high for me. So that's kind of kiboshed my opportunity to do much with my little travel trailer that's sitting there. So yeah, that was kind of bumming me out a little bit too. And I was like, darn, you know, like here I am. I'm almost 58 years old. This is the time in my life when I should be doing this stuff. And now I'm sitting here with this darn thing on my foot. It's bugging me. All right. So, you know, I was looking at all the things that I couldn't do and I was sort of frustrated. You know, I've always looked after my house really well. Got that stand-up vacuum. We live in a little bit of an area where I've got some gravel and dirt out in the yard. My dog tracks it in. So every day I get up and I run that little vacuum for 5 minutes in the morning. I run it for 5 minutes at night and I just stay on top of stuff. But now I can't do that. And I'm reliant on my partner to do all the vacuuming. And it makes me feel guilty to be reliant on him to do that. Went out and sat on my deck a couple days ago. I've gone out on the deck. We've been really lucky to get some good weather. And I looked over in the yard and I've got a really nice yard. And there's some really nice bushes. Like when I'm looking, sitting on my deck, I'm looking at the fence. I can see these really nice bushes, but I've always been the one that trimmed them. They're just short bushes and that's something that I could look after. They were sort of my size to work with. So those were the bushes that I looked after. Now I'm looking at this bush. It looks crazy. It looks like something from a Dr. Seuss book. It's like this bush is growing all over the place. And I'm sitting on the deck and going, oh gosh, if I could just hop down over there, sit on a chair, sit with some clippers, I'd trim that thing back. But I'm also thinking, I'm a little unsteady on these crutches still when it comes to stairs. And I don't think that's a good idea. I don't want to jeopardize anything. Put myself in a spot where I wipe out with a good foot because right now I need that foot. So it's probably best I just sit back and don't worry about the fact that the Dr. Seuss tree is growing in the backyard. It is going to go back to being a regular bush at some point. And, you know, there's all these little things. And when you're a little bit, I don't know what the word would be, bit of hard ass. Sorry about my terminology. When you're hard ass about wanting to do certain things all the time, it's just something that you like to have done all the time. It's a big thing when suddenly your independence is taken away from you and you can no longer just get up and do that stuff. And it's made me think a lot about a lot of people who've been in my life, people I've known as acquaintances, people who are friends, family members that I've had who've passed on, who went through health conditions and a health crisis at some point in their life. For some of the people, it was just a temporary thing. For some people in my family, it was actually a terminal illness. And I watched people go through their loss of mobility. And this just takes me back to the experiences of people that I've been close to. And it makes me think about, what did they go through? What was it like for them? What was it like when they were going through that? And I think until any of us have ever experienced something, it's hard to understand what somebody else around us is going through. I know in the past year or so, I've had a few people come on the podcast, people who've had some really extreme health challenges, where they've been put in a situation where they had to be dependent on other people for help. And it's amazing when you listen to those stories, you can feel empathy, but it's hard to understand it again until you've walked in that person's shoes. And I can't compare this, okay? So this is like comparing apples and oranges, not even that. I mean, my little issue right now is so small compared to what other people have dealt with. But it still made me think about it. I was thinking about a really amazing lady named Sharon. Sharon Shorty came on the podcast about a year ago. She was actually on a couple times. But the second time, she talked a bit more about her experience with going from being able to walk to one day going into a wheelchair. And it just happened so fast for her, and she was forced to make so many changes in her life. And she's an amazing lady. She's got this real zest for life. She's just got a really good attitude, and the struggles that she went through were not easy. I mean, yeah, that's pretty tough. You're walking one day and the next day that you're not. And, you know, she shared a bit in her podcast some of the struggles that she had, you know, icy ramps, you know, businesses that weren't maybe so accommodating, things that she had to rely on other people for. And I look at her and I look at the courage she's had and I look at how strong she's been. And I just have so much admiration for her because, like I said, what I'm going through right now being on crutches is not at all compared to what she's gone through. But I think I've thought about her so much along the way. And even as I sit down and I wait for my partner to bring me a cup of coffee because I can't carry it with crutches into the living room, I think about her and I think, wow, this must have been such a challenge and it must have been so hard for her. I think about people who go through any kind of long-term illness or terminal illness. And if you've ever been somebody who's had this happen to you where you've had a change in your mobility or your change in what you can do, it's a huge grieving process. I can only imagine what a grieving process it is. And it must be so hard for somebody when you lose that ability to be independent. And I think for those of us who've been independent our whole lives, we take things for granted. It's just human nature. You take things for granted. You get out of bed, you hop out of bed in the morning, you walk over, you sit down on the toilet, you have your pee, you can reach the toilet paper, no problem. And, you know, if you're in the bathroom and you happen to drop something on the floor, no big deal. You bend down, you pick it up. Yeah, things that we just take for granted. And then you get up off your toilet, you walk over to your sink, you wash your hands, you brush your teeth, you walk down the hall, head in the kitchen. I don't know what your routine is, but for a lot of people, it's, you know, plug in the coffee pot or turn on the tea kettle. All these things you just take for granted for doing for yourself. When something happens and you break a leg, break a foot, sprain an ankle, anything like that, and suddenly you have to depend on someone else to get that stuff for you, it's really hard. And, you know, I'm just using a foot or a leg as an example. I even think about arms. I'd hurt a shoulder a couple of years back, and there were so many things I couldn't do while I had the torn rotator cuff. But I was really lucky because I still maintained the use of that hand. And even though it limited me in a lot of ways, that shoulder injury did not stop me from being able to cook a meal or being able to do things in the kitchen. Right now, I can't do that because I can't balance on my crutches and cook at the stove. And doctor says I need to be off my foot for a little bit. So yeah, I can't do those things. But this is not all about a big party. I can't talk. This is not all about a big pity party thing for me today. Not at all. I think what I'm just trying to say is that so many times in life, we take things for granted and we have so many blessings, but we don't always look at them. When we should be looking at them, we don't always look at them. And I was thinking about it, you know, even the other week before I knew that I was going to have to be off my foot here on the crutches. I knew that things were changing. I knew I was having a little bit of an issue with my leg, and I knew that I was going to have to stop doing what I was doing. And it was really hard for me because I had all kinds of markets that I was going to be attending this spring. And by markets, I'm referring to the fact that I am a vendor at some of the markets. I have a small business where I create custom-made journals and really unique little gifts like that. Well, I realized that I can't stand on this leg right now, so I had to cancel the markets. And I'm going to just read out to you a post that I put on Facebook. This was 5 days ago. And this was before I'd had the x-ray on my foot. And this is what I wrote on my Facebook page. And this was the page for Lindy Books and Audio, not my podcast page, but my business page. And I wrote on there, "Today I woke up in a bit of a funk. It happens to the best of us. As we get older, things don't always work the way they used to work. It's hard when our minds want to do one thing and our bodies have another plan for us. I had a little reminder this morning that this is temporary, and I have so much to be grateful for. In the meantime, sorry, I won't be at any market soon. Fingers crossed, if I follow plan B, it'll get me back to plan A. Okay, I had that on my page. So now if you're wondering, well, what was plan A and plan B? I actually had made a graphic that I had put on that page, and I had four plans on there. Plan A, B, C, and D. You know, sometimes you start out at plan A. If things don't work, you go to plan B. Sometimes that doesn't work, you go to plan C. I mean, basically what it comes down to is sometimes in life, you just got to keep making new plans. If one thing doesn't work, you can't give up and you got to go ahead. So on that plan A, I had a little picture of a little sunflower. It was kind of cute. It was pink, had a little happy face. And beside it, it said, plan A, make journals, attend markets, make more journals and attend more markets. Yeah, that was my plan. Well, that day I decided I'm going to have to go to plan B. And plan B, I had a picture of a little flower beside it. And the flower was not happy. Downward turn on the mouth. It was not smiling. And it said, plan B, rice, stands for rest, ice, compression, and elevation. And I wrote behind it, silly leg, don't you know I have markets to attend? Why are you acting up on me again and again? Anyway, then I went on to plan C. Plan C had a picture of two little water glasses. It was like a little cartoon picture. One was frowning and the other was smiling. The one that was frowning was half full of water. The one that was smiling was completely full of water. And I wrote beside that on the plan C, look at how I'm seeing things. Is my glass half empty or half full? I can't do markets right now till my leg is better. I can't walk my dog, and I'm sadly eyeing up my new parked e-bike. But remember, this is only temporary, and I'm going to follow my own podcast, and it's going to be positive vibes, mind over matter. Yeah. And then I had plan D underneath it. And that was where I was headed to that day. I was making myself not only do plan B with the rest, ice, compression, elevation, but I was also moving myself over to plan D. And in plan D, I had a picture and had a bunch of smiling little flowers. And beside it, I said, I'm going to count my blessings, focus on what I can do versus what I can't do. Markets will always be there in the fall. My books don't have a shelf life. Now I have time to go back to writing. It's all how you look at things. And it's so true. You know, when these things hit you in life, sometimes your attitude and how you approach things can make a whole difference in how you're able to cope with it. And I found myself over the past week, there was a few days, like, I'm going to be honest, I am human. And yeah, I was really upset about the things I couldn't do. I'm also supposed to be having a trip to see my grandkids again in a little bit. And I'm a little concerned about whether I'm going to be able to make that trip with what's going on right now. And I want to see my grandkids. I miss them. And it was really important to me to do that. But right now, I don't know what I'm going to be doing. And I found when I was getting a little bit emotional, I've just found that I suddenly wasn't seeing the glass as anything but near the empty side for a short period of time. And that is not like me. That is not my style. I don't usually do that. And I can see how it could happen because exercise has always been so important to me. It truly has. Exercise has always been what kept me really mentally happy, mentally chipper. Anytime I've gone through any tragedy or trauma or issues in my family, anything like that, I've always found that you get out and you go for a bike ride, you get out and go for a walk. It just releases these happy vibes in my body and it clears my head. And I always focus on things more positively when I'm exercising. And so right now, the exercise that I'm getting is an exercise in learning, an exercise in learning how to adapt when I can't use physical fitness to bring those happy vibes. And what it is it's a mental exercise for me because now I'm going to have to learn to use my mental side of me to focus on the positive things, count all my blessings that are around me, and not rely on something physical to bring me happiness. And it's a whole new world of learning for me right now. And I'm almost like, oh boy, this is really private for me to come out and say that. This is really almost kind of embarrassing to say that. Yeah, I realized that I got so caught up in all these other things that I was doing. I was forgetting to slow down again and appreciate the finer things that we have in life. I thought about my mom as I was going through this. And I think if you followed me along the way a little bit, or you happen to know me personally, you'll know about my mom. My mom was an amazing lady who raised four children on her own. Back in the 1970s, that was no easy feat. There wasn't a lot of help for women back then. And so, yeah, my mom was pretty amazing. I have good memories of my mom. We grew up in the north. We grew up in the Yukon. And I can remember many times in the winter, 30, 40 below days, she was helping me get all wrapped up in my little snowsuit, bundled up, scarf on, put me on the sled. And then she towed me on the sled over to the babysitter's house, you know, because if I walked, I was too slow, probably at that age. So she'd cart me over on the sled, then she'd go catch a ride to work, and then she'd come back at the end of the day to pick me up, and I'd go and join her and all my older sisters at home. Yeah, pretty amazing lady. And my mom worked hard. Her entire life, she worked hard, and her bicycle was her outlet. And her bicycle was her freedom on wheels. My mom never had a driver's license. And so in the summer months, you know, in the Yukon when there wasn't snow, my mom was on her bike all the time. All the time. And in the winter months, she was often walking. She'd go outside. She'd walk every day. She was really amazing. She kept on doing this well into her 60s until she physically couldn't do it anymore. But there was a time in her life when she was probably in her late 50s, about the age that I am right now, and she was riding her bike to work one day and she fell off her bike. Now, when she fell off her bike, she went face first into the concrete. It was awful. I can still remember it. I remember the bruises. She had black eyes. It had crunched her nose. Like, it was just a really horrible accident. She was quite scraped up from it. She went to the hospital. And the doctor asked her, you know, what kind of bike were you riding? Did you? And thank goodness she had a helmet on, because of course, over the years, things changed and we were required to wear helmets. So I'm grateful she'd had a helmet on that day. But the doctor at the outpatients or emerged that day had kind of said to her, well, maybe you should be rethinking whether you should be riding a bike anymore, maybe. For you, physically, you might be getting past the age for it. Well, heck, she was only in her late 50s. Believe me, late 50s is not too old to be riding a bike. That's a good time to be riding a bike, in my opinion. I'm in my late 50s. I can't imagine life without my bike. Anyways, so she said, no, I don't think I need to stop riding the bike. I think something happened here. And the reason she said that was because she didn't remember putting her hands down to catch her fall. It was almost like she blacked out on the bike. Well, it turned out through some tests and further tests that they did with the medical field, they found out that her heart had been stopping for a few seconds at a time and she needed a pacemaker. So chances are that's probably what happened on that bike that day. She probably did pass out because her heart rate had been, or her heart had been stopping. She got that pacemaker and it allowed her to get back on that bike and keep moving again. But during the time that she'd had that injury and she was at home, yeah, and imagine this woman who's worked hard her whole life and raised four kids, and suddenly now she's forced to stop. She's forced to stay at home. She can't ride her bike. She can't walk. She's just having to wait till her body recuperates. She wrote this paper, and I have the original paper right here in front of me. I kept it. And it's something that every once in a while I go back and I look at it and I read it. And I also have made a photocopy of this, and I have it framed on my wall in my office. And what my mom called it is Reflections on Being Temporarily Incapacitated. That was the name of it. So I'm going to share it with you today. Please know that this is something that I read that my mom wrote. It means a lot to me. And here we go. Here's what she wrote. Recently, I had an accident that caused me to be on restricted activity for some 10 days. When it became obvious the accident might have other causes than pure clumsiness, the whole incident took on a new aspect. During the time I had to curtail many of my normal activities, I discovered a number of things. Number one, days do not have to start at 7 a.m. Some rather pleasant days can start at 9. Number two, my belief that my children are exceptional people has been confirmed. Among their many strong points are their compassion, their endless optimism, their strong family values. In a family crisis, you can sense the wagons being drawn into a circle, protecting the person within. Number three, I discovered that five-year-olds, even two-year-olds, can be very concerned about an ailing grandparent. These children resemble their parents in more than facial features, perhaps because their mothers had the good sense to marry partners who shared their values. Number four, facial features can be a touchy subject when you've just rearranged yours. Some colors of eyeshadow complement no tone of makeup. Number five, well-balanced, healthful meals are good for the body, but junk food shared with kindred spirits is good for the soul. Number six, Yukon skies on a bright sunny morning are a shade of blue, possibly not duplicated on any canvas. I'd never really observed this, as weekends are usually the sequel to 5 days of rain dances. Number 7. A small girl feeding a carrot to a large horse is a sight to gladden anyone's heart. A small girl feeding a segment of orange to a reluctant dog may be upsetting to a parent, but not necessarily to a grandparent. Number 8. Dust can create quite interesting patterns on furniture. Number 9. Even if my life is on a temporary holding pattern, the world is still turning. This reinforces my belief someone up there is running this show, possibly without my help. What a relief. I love that paper. I love that paper that my mom wrote. And I think when I first read it, you know, I thought, oh, it's really well written. It's neat. This is cool. But I think as I got older and older, anytime I read that paper over again, I see one more thing about my mom in it that I just didn't see before. And I look back at it and I think about her talking about, you know, days don't have to start at 7, some days can start at 9. Yeah, that was her adjusting. I mean, her whole life had been go, go, go. And it was an adjustment to suddenly be just stopping and going on a different schedule. When she talked about the children being exceptional people and how if the wagons were all drawn in a circle, we'd all protect the person within. Well, yeah, that was just how our family was. We were pretty tight, especially me and my sisters. Now I laugh about this because 4 girls in a 2-bedroom house growing up. Yeah, 4 girls in 1 bedroom. You can imagine sometimes there was a little bit of audio scrapping, I guess I would call it. Somebody's touched somebody's toy. Somebody's making too much noise when you're trying to sleep. Somebody's not doing this or doing that. And yeah, we were girls. Every once in a while, we didn't get along, but holy cow, we did not allow anybody else to mess with us. Yeah, we might scrap with each other, but anybody else dare scrap with your sisters? That's not happening. Yeah, when we were growing up, it was like, yeah, we can fight with each other, but don't fight with my sisters. We've got each other's backs. And we were like that in the neighborhood with our friends, too. I mean, our friends became part of our extended family. It's like we all had each other's backs. But yeah, it's kind of funny how that would go. So yes, even now to this very day, I live thousands of miles away from my sisters, but we still got each other's backs. We still look in on each other. We still care for each other. We still stay in touch. And we always say to ourselves, we're always going to do that because we are the Lieberman girls. So yeah, that's just how it is. And I look at the things my mom wrote about, and you know, she talked about how she ended up putting on the compliments of eyeshadows, how it matched no tone of makeup. Well, my mom was never a high makeup person. Oh, yeah, I remember going to work. She'd have that little powder puff thing on her nose, a little bit of lipstick, but she never really wore much makeup. And I often thought, you know, that's why probably in her later years, even right up till when she passed, my mom had the most beautiful skin. It was ivory white skin, and she just had really, really beautiful skin. And I honestly think it's because all those years, my mom just didn't put on a lot of makeup. She just didn't. And yeah, she really looked after herself. There's something else that she said in here that really sticks with me. And this really means a lot to me when I read this. And when she says, Yukon skies on a bright sunny morning are a shade of blue, possibly not duplicated on any canvas. She says, I'd never really observed this, as weekends are usually the sequel to 5 days of rain dances. Well, holy cow, I read that and it made so much sense to me. So first of all, when she talks about Yukon skies, yeah, I was born and raised in the Yukon, and the Yukon Territory here in Western Canada is one of the most beautiful places you can ever go to. It is just beautiful. And there's some things that I just can't describe. Used to cross-country ski by the Yukon River in the winter time, you know, and you'd have the mist coming up off the water and you'd have the snowflakes coming down. It was beautiful. When you go out and sit by the Yukon River in the summertime and the magnificent colors, and come fall time and the smell of the cool, crisp, fresh air, you just can't describe it. Yukon is beautiful. And for her to note that in there, she's so right. She was having a chance to see things in a different light. And she talked about how she'd never had a chance to observe it because her weekends were usually the sequel to 5 days of rain dances. Well, yeah, she worked really hard. I can't imagine what it was like for her doing all the things that she did and then would come home to all 4 of us at home. Yeah, these crazy girls laughing, giggling, carrying on at the table or having our issues, whatever. We were good kids, but yeah, we were mischievous kids too. And she dealt with all of us. She kept that family together. And I can't imagine what it was like for her after all those years. She's raised everybody. And I think I was probably in my late teen years when that accident happened to her. And now here she was at a point in her life where she should have been able to ride her bike and have that freedom and do stuff. And suddenly This accident forced her to have to stop and to see things in a different light. And I look at this and I think about, look at what she wrote here. Even if my life is on a temporary holding pattern, the world is still turning. And it reinforces my belief someone up there is running this show, possibly without my help. Yeah, what a way to look at things. And she's so right. There's so many things in life that it doesn't matter what we think we can and can't control. There's some things we just can't control. And I'm learning that a lot this past week. There's just some things we can't control. And what we can control is our reaction to it. I didn't react very well. A few days ago, even yesterday, I wasn't reacting very well to the fact that I can't get out and work in the yard. I can't walk my dog. I can't ride my bike. I can't cook my own meal right now. And I can't carry my own cup of coffee to the kitchen. And I found myself getting a little blue. And then I had to kick myself in the butt with the good leg. I had to kick myself in the butt and go, oh my gosh, Linda, this is temporary. This is just temporary. This is going to heal up. I am going to be able to do these things again. Even if it wasn't temporary, why wouldn't I be looking at the things that I can do? There's so much that I can do. And just because there's certain things that I've taken for granted my whole life doesn't change my value as a person at all. Perhaps I question that for a couple of days. What good am I? What good am I if I can't do this or I can't do that? Well, what good am I is I is as good as being the person I am. And it doesn't matter if there's things I can't do. I have to take a look at myself and love myself for what I'm able to do and what I'm able to offer and not be worried about what I can't do anymore. And it takes a lot to change that train of thought when you're in that little bit of a funk and something isn't going quite right. So, you know, I guess I just thought I would share all this today, and I hope that you're seeing this as a positive. I'm not doing this. It's not like not supposed to be some big pity party or anything like that. That's not what at all this is intended to be. It's saying that I'm going through this right now. I'm your little podcaster that you're listening to and having a little bit of an issue, and I know it's going to get better. It's changing how I'm doing things, but if anything, it's changing how I look at life. And I feel so many times things hit me and I keep getting these life lessons over and over and over. And I'm wondering if whoever's running that world that keeps turning around up there keeps trying to send me some life lessons to get me thinking about things. I'm wondering if this happened for a reason. Was there a reason that this happened to me? Because I had some life lessons that I needed to learn out of this. I guess it goes to show us it doesn't matter what age we are. We can always keep on learning. I'm going to be 58 years old in a couple months. Hopefully I'm riding my bike at the age of 58. But I am going to be 58 in just 2 months. And then in 2 years, I'll be 60. Yeah, things are changing. My age is changing. But I can also change how I think. It's never too late to change how you think about things. And I think if you ever find yourself going down that slippery slope of getting depressed because there's something you can't do, you want to do physical changes, whatever, you got to stop. You got to listen to the birds like I did the other day. You got to smell the fresh air if you've got fresh air around you. Listen to the music, listen to the tunes. Do anything that you're capable of doing and do it to the best of your ability. Anything that you have, you need to appreciate. I mean, I sat out on the deck the other day and when I said, oh, geez, it just bugs me that I can't get out there and I can't cut that bush right now. I've always been the one to do that. And my partner, Randy, looked at me and he said, you've got a house. That's all he said. He said, you have a house. And I stopped and I looked at him and I'm like, you're right. I've got a house. There's a lot of people out there right now that don't have a home. They're living in vehicles, some are living in tents, they're couch surfing, they're going place to place looking for a house, especially right now when our house prices went so crazy, the interest rates have gone up, cost of living's gone so high, and people here in Canada are really struggling right now with the cost of living, especially here in British Columbia. I can't speak to all places, but I know the cost of living in British Columbia is very high right now, and a lot of people are struggling, and he was so right when he said to me, you've got a house. So it goes back to that thing I was talking about that I had posted on my Lindy Books and Audio page, Plan A, B, C, and D, and Plan C I need to focus on as well. Going to look at seeing how I'm seeing things, and I'm going to look at my glass half empty or is my glass half full. Well, I think today I'm not even going to think about the glass as being half empty or half full. I'm just going to look at that glass as being overflowing with blessings, and I have so many blessings around me. All right, that's it. Just going to mention that hopefully if you think about some of this today, stop and think about all the blessings you have in your life. Stop and think about some of the things that you take for granted. And I talk about getting off the toilet, going to brush your teeth, things like that. I've never realized how hard it is to try to not have access to one foot and get in and out of a shower. I've now got one of those little benches with the handle on it so I can safely get in and out of my shower and not worry about slipping because I'm on one foot. I've just had to do a few little things just to adapt till I get over this. And I just look at it and I go, I took those things for granted. I took it for granted that if I dropped something on the floor, I could bend down and pick it up. I took it for granted that if I went into a store, I could stand on my tippy toes and reach things on the upper shelf. I wonder what it's like for somebody in a wheelchair to be in the store and you can't reach things that are up high. It must be really hard. You know, when we look around us, we sometimes need to slow down and look at other people around us and think about what they're going through and if they have struggles, because perhaps they've been presented with a few different challenges. How can we help? What can we do to make life easier? All right. That's it. I really do have to go now. I want to say thank you so much again to everybody who listened to me today. I know this isn't my normal style podcast, and I probably left a few stutters and stammers in here. I didn't edit it out. My sound quality might be a little bit different today because, like I said, I'm recording off a different microphone sitting on my laptop in the living room, not doing things the way I normally do, but it's still me, still Lindy here. And I'm so excited to be able to still podcast in the middle of everything. I love podcasting. If you go out there today, if you can think of something where you can pay it forward, if there's anything you can do, whether you're at the drive-thru, you buy coffee for the person who's behind you, or you happen to notice a senior down the street who's struggling with carrying that weed eater, you know somebody who's home alone, who doesn't have any family around, could use a dinner invite, any of those kinds of things. If you think of something that you can do to make somebody's day brighter, that's always a good thing and probably always appreciated. All right, gonna wrap it up here. If you happen to be on Facebook, just a reminder too that I do have a podcast group for Lindy's Audio Cafe podcast. Please do feel free to check it out. I always post when I put my episodes there. That is a great place where you can leave comments and feedback regarding the episodes. And if you are on a podcast app listening, like Apple, Spotify, or something like that, a lot of them have a place where you can leave positive feedback as well. And I always say, yeah, positive feedback's welcome. But if you don't like what I had to say, remember what my mom also said. You don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all. Just thought I'd throw that out there. All right. Have a great day, everybody. And remember what I always say as we head out. Remember that smiles come in all languages and in all colors. Take care. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to click like and share it so others can enjoy it also. Join the Lindy's Audio Cafe podcast group for updates. Oh, and positive reviews are always welcome as well. Check the show notes for updated links. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.